Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. NFL. Let me just go ahead and start. I'm never one for a coach to lose his job. I'm the last person to try and get a coach removed. But unless Sean Payton is just racking up millions on daily fantasy using the quarterback that is playing against his defense, he needs to get rid of Rob Ryan today. Because the Saints' defense is awful.
They awful, but Rob probably just sticking there until the end of the year.
Let's just throw this stat out there. They're the first defense in NFL history to allow four or more touchdowns without an interception in three straight games.
Well, when your defense rate like 31 or something,
yeah,
is it 32 teams?
Yeah, they need to be ranked 33rd because. Well, They're worse than Big 12 defenses.
I didn't even watch any football yesterday, to be totally honest. I did flip on the game, and then at the beginning when they said, they was like, you know, the Saints defense is 31 and the Redskins offense is 28 or something. I was like, I'm not about to do this to myself. And then I look up, and what do I see? Oh, boy, had like four touchdown passes. I can't do this.
I mean, Kirk Cousins, solid, decent quarterback, ain't gonna take nothing right. But they made him like a All American, a Hall of Famer, yesterday.
Well, and what did the offense couldn't do anything?
They start this, and I made this comment to my dad. I was telling, like, because they started off the game going score for score with Washington. You know, Washington scored, they would score, back and forth. And I said, if the Saints had a defense, they could compete for a Super Bowl because the offense is solid. I mean, they got weapons on offense. And then...
Well, he'll fire that dude either by choice or by force.
Yeah, it's inevitably coming. I think they just keeping him around now because, one, like I said, somebody playing daily fantasy and is taking the quarterback that's playing against them. Two, they just like the fact that he gives them TV exposure because they put him on TV more than Drew Brees.
Yeah, every time you look up, you see the silver-haired man on the sideline looking either confused or just like, what are y'all doing?
Right.
My 49ers offer, I don't even care.
Yeah, we're not even gonna discuss them. We let them be on the bye where they were.
Well, I see the Giants almost got them upset.
They did. We'll get to that in a minute because I wanted to go into Peyton. Peyton became the all time leader in passing yards yesterday, passing Brett Favre. Good thing he only needed 3 yards. To break the record, because he only got 35 for the game, going 5 for 20, and actually got benched halfway through the third quarter. Apparently, he's got a lot of injuries, and
that's what I was gonna ask you.
And there was a question whether or not he was even gonna play yesterday. They were thinking about sitting him. He talked himself, and you know, he talked his way into playing because he got that kind of clout, which you know, but. It was awful from the jump. They don't have a running game, first of all. Their offensive line is terrible. But when he's, you know, underthrowing and overthrowing, I mean, there's no consistency. He's got 17 interceptions on the year. Four yesterday.
Well, he's not going to run his legacy, but he run whatever little decent stats that he have. Yeah. And athletes are always going to want to play. I don't care if it's Kobe, Michael Jordan, whoever, LeBron. You know they hurt, just sit them down. That's why you're the head coach.
Right.
Ain't no need to let him be out there. Get your second string guy some minutes and just say rest it up and try to get better.
Especially since they started out the year 6-0. I mean, they put themselves a nice little cushion where they can afford to do that.
Right. So, he done. This is last year. And I don't know why he got a Super Bowl. Just go ahead and sit down somewhere. What?
You know how the athlete's mindset is.
I know, but this is what I don't understand. Like, well, I know this one lady. She married to a former NFL player, and she said that he still think he can play, and then one day he was out with the Young Bucks at his college wanting to race the guy and talking about, oh, I was even with him, but then all of a sudden he took off. Yeah, because you and it's over. And then she said one of the reasons they talk about they can't quit because there's no adrenaline like you get when it's 80,000 people cheering for you.
Yeah.
Well, go coach or something. Because you can still hear the fans and get that same rush. I mean, everybody that's in the building, if you're standing there at a football game when the crowd roar, every guy to get that, you can feel the energy in the building.
Right.
I don't understand. Men different than women. Because we know when you're like, girl, I'm about to go ahead and throw in this towel.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, there's an ego involved with it, and it's more prevalent in men than it is in women.
Because I really think that when Cooper called it in, that she still could have played a couple more years and still been out there killing. I got me 3 rings. I'm just gonna call it a day.
She got 4. And would have had 3 more if she'd have kept playing. Yeah.
I don't know. Hey, go sit your hand down. This water tastes awful. Go ahead.
And like you brought up earlier, the Giants and the Patriots. The Patriots narrowly escaped Eli and his band of misfits.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
I already told somebody, the Patriots, they're going to do what they did that year. They had that long, they was undefeated and then lost one game. Same thing going to happen.
I thought this was going to be the game. I mean, Eli and them had everything going their way. They go down, if Odell brings the touchdown in right at the end where it gets slapped out his hand in the end zone and they rule it an incomplete pass, if he brings that in, there ain't no other questions. Then, they kick the field goal. They go up 2. Patriots on the drive. The very first play on the Patriots drive, Landon Collins, the former defensive back for Alabama, catches the interception. And, I mean, it's coming down, takes one hand off the ball to shield his fall. At some point, you just got to come on and fall. Just fall with the ball. Cause
fall on your butt. What are you doing?
Because he loses the possession and drops the interception, which would have won the game. And, of course, Brady does what Brady does. He drives down the field, and they get a 50-something-yard field goal for the win. 50-yarder?
Okay. Well.
Yeah, and Tom Brady does what he does. He drove the length of the field to get them in position for it.
Half a little over half if it was 50.
yeah, true. Yeah, very true. Oh, let's see.
Well, these injuries keep piling up for people. More people getting hurt. And can we just talk about the rules in football in general very quickly?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll wait till we talk about college football, because this is more pertaining to, I guess it's not just pertaining to college football. This whole protecting the quarterback thing getting outrageous. Now, you can't hit him high. You can't hit him low. And if you basically, if you hit him and it look bad, he going to get a flag. Now, in college, they got this whole spearing thing or whatever they call it, where they go back and review it, then they just eject you from the game. Now, I don't see some of these calls that's just atrocious.
Targeting. Targeting. Yeah.
These kids are trying to be fundamentally sound and just make a play. And if the quarterback dips down like he's trying to squat to protect himself at the same time you're about to hit him, it's likely that y'all helmet's going to touch.
Right.
And then the people that review these plays, I don't understand it, because targeting seemed like it should be malicious. You targeted, I mean, I tried to hurt somebody, not that it was an inadvertent incidental contact. They got to review this stuff. Same thing with the NFL. You know, you can't hit them below the, what, you can't hit them by the ankles now or something? Or,
I mean, I understand the helmet-to-helmet. I understand that one. Because, you know, you could cause some good damage with that. And I know they're trying to cut down on the concussions. I understand
if that. If you was trying to do it, it's one thing. Right. But if you just running dead at somebody and they dunk.
You playing now, football. You playing what? Football the way everybody has always known football to be played. I agree
now,
with you.
I get the, you know, kid, you know, some guy couldn't make a catch. And he just like, he out of the play. And then you come and smack him. Yeah, you should get a targeting or some kind of eject. I get that.
Right.
But anyway, they're going to have me start watching football the way it is. They're getting on my nerves with all these. It's too many rules. It's too many. They be like, dude, this is football. What are you saying? Like, you're supposed to hit people. That's what it's football for. Otherwise, then nobody watch it if it was flag football.
Right. Oh, Lord. Well, I think that's good enough time for our first break.
Yeah, all the vents, and then I do sometimes. Okay.
We'll get T down off her box and let her get back up in a little bit.
Yeah, well, I miss Brian spraying my ankle.
Yes, indeed. All right, well, we'll get in tomorrow on the other side. This has been the Mac and T Show. Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Paris, France. Friday evening, there was some coordinated terrorist attacks. There was some bombings taking place from, was believed and has been confirmed to be from ISIS, the terrorist group that were in, that were over that attacks. You were talking about it during the break, some, so you want to go into that for the people?
Well, what I was saying is that some of this stuff, they know it's going to happen or they suspect it's going to happen, because when you talk about the advances that we have made technologically, like when the guy, I can't even think of his name, said that over here in America, said, ran off and what's his name? He stole the information and then ran to another country.
Edward Snowden. He went to Russia.
Yeah, when Mr. Snowden stole that information, said that they was doing some illegal stuff. Look, governments, not government, like just America. All these governments, y'all know what's going down. This stuff that be happening in Spectra and all these movies that we watch, some of that stuff y'all can do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say most of it y'all can do. And so, like, if you got Gmail, they can read any of your mail without your permission. Because it's a free service, and so once you sign up, and you probably don't read that little thing that they tell you, when you say, okay, then I'll go with it.
Accept the terms. Click here to accept the terms. Yeah.
You just click and accept it because you want the service, and you don't read nothing about what it say. So they can read read these, you know, phone messages. Phones. I've been saying this for years. If your phone can tell you, give you directions, that means your phone is communicating with some satellite somewhere saying where you are and saying, okay, this is where you need to be and this is how you get there. That means they can find you with the phone.
Like, yeah, the other night, a great example of this, my mom and I were driving somewhere and she picked up her phone. She said, look at this. And she said, it tells you on the phone, you're 39 minutes from home. And I went, she was so fascinated by that. I said, that's not good.
Because that means somebody know what people are all the time.
Right.
And so unless these terrorists are using carrier pigeons now, they have gone back to the Stone Age, of, you know, the way to inform each other of what their plans are. Because you got to be strategic about all this.
Yeah.
So even if they got some kind of codes or something on the email, these people are getting paid millions of dollars to uncode and do all this stuff. I don't know. I don't say it for years that, and I ain't saying this is what happened in Paris. I know, you know, sometimes I kind of believe some of these theorists saying that stuff happened because the government let it. But I say this. I say sometimes government tell us they're taking away our liberties for the sake of our safety. And it's just so that they can continue to take away our liberties. Because ever since 9/11, it's been awful to go to the airport.
We just got through talking about the NFL just yesterday. If you were sitting there watching the TV and you didn't have the sound on, say you just had the sound muted for whatever reason, or you was at a bar and you couldn't hear the sound, watching people have dogs sniff their bags and walking through metal detectors just to get into an NFL game, which is what happened all around the country yesterday because of these attacks. I don't want to live in a world like that.
And they continually saying that, oh, we're doing this for your safety, but you're doing that to take away my liberties. Because if people want to blow up something, they're going to find a way. They're going to find somebody that work in the airport, or they're going to plant somebody that work in the airport so that they can get through, or they'll have somebody that can get through without being searched as thoroughly, bring it. And then you come through and they'll make this handoff exchange have something better. We watch too many movies. These people, yeah, it's some brilliant people that have great imaginations, but a lot of that stuff, they probably read stuff that we haven't had access to. Or, again, when I watch all these 007 movies, or the movie like, the movie with the Will Smith. This one, it all set it off for me. When Will Smith.
Oh, Gene Hackman.
Yes, with him.
Enemy of the State.
Yes, Enemy of the State was when I really started to be like, and you know how long that was ago. I was like, they can do all of that stuff and track people down. So when people start talking about their family members and stuff missing, if they got a cell phone on, then you can find it. Oh, the cell phone was turned off. Guess what? If your phone is off, or if you don't have no signal, say, you can still make that 911 call, is my understanding.
Yeah, the emergency call you can still make.
Which means you can find me. Y'all ain't. Just go ahead and tell us. I ain't living in the Matrix. I refuse. I know what's going down.
Well, last night, France retaliated with some bombings to, I guess, a Syrian headquarter of this Islamic State, ISIS. That's all well and good, and that's great that you responded, you know, by killing more people, but.
Yeah, that's always good. That's
that little bit of headquarters is not... This ISIS group is all over.
Yes.
And that little bit of headquarters is not going to stop them from doing what they're doing.
And that ain't making them 128 people or whatever was killed come back.
No.
That ain't saying I got no answers for it. Besides humbling ourselves and praying and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. Other than that, I'm get off my soapbox. But
I think that World War III is coming. I think it's eventually coming.
Yes. The way we're going and where we always ready to, you know, bomb and blow up stuff, I wouldn't doubt it.
Lord, and if Trump get in office, we're going to start the next day.
I don't know. I'm interested to see who is actually going to get in.
I thought it was a joke when he first started out. I thought it was a joke, but it's very close to actually being, you know, being a reality.
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing with Trump running the country. But the bottom line is, though, the president, we say he runs the country, he actually doesn't. Like,
Congress runs. Congress.
Part, right. You got to have the Congress and you got to have the House. So there are checks and balances.
Thank God.
But this is the thing. At some point, we got to stop being these Democrats and these Republicans. And we got to do what's best for the people and not what's best for you and your pocket. So that's pretty much what goes down. Whoever got the most money can pay people off to put what initiative or bills, laws that they want to go through.
Right.
And so lobbyists, something has got to change with the way we allow lobbying to happen. You should be lobbying like you're doing a debate. And you get your position, somebody else get theirs, and whoever the person that you're trying to win over say, well, this makes more sense than that. Because, I mean, I could make more sense than you, but he got more money to put in your pocket or into your campaign. I'm not. They ain't trying to hear what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. I do want to give out you know, my prayers and condolences to all those people in France that are going through this right now.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but ISIS is out of control, and
yeah, it's not going to end anytime soon.
I don't know what they're going to take, but people need to be ready.
Yeah. Stay prayed up.
And I'm going to tell you this. Stay prayed up and get ready, because I have said this before, and I heard somebody else say it, and I was like, Lord, I have been saying the same thing. He said he got a book on it. I can't even think his name. But when some terrorist decides to attack our infrastructure, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
Because all of our water and electricity and all that is run computer-wise. And if somebody hacked that and shut it down, I'm saying this, most of y'all not going to be ready. I'm telling you, I'm starting to get me some water saved up and starting to buy canned goods. Because you're not going to be able to, you got to have water to live. Yeah. And most people don't have enough food in their house, if any, to make it but a couple of days. Most people, I keep telling people, I ain't saying have thousands of dollars of cash on you, but your daddy, he know, mm-hmm. have some cash on you, because you're going to need to be able to buy something that you can't, because if electronic down, you can't swipe no credit card.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and the whole, between my dad and his cash, and my grandmother and her closet full of canned goods,
see,
we going to be all right.
Y'all going to be all right.
We going to be all right.
Grandma and them know. That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, she ready for the next whatever. She ready.
Water and have a little money so you can go buy some necessities. Because I'm telling you, when I learned this all from when that storm hit, my man going blank all morning. The storm hit down there on the coast in Louisiana.
Katrina.
When Katrina hit, and them people was in line and didn't have money, and they couldn't get any money out of their banks because all the banks was messed up, I was like, that's why you need to have some kind of cash.
And then they just turned around and went in the stores without money and took what they needed.
And then there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then there's that.
And that's going to bring us to our next break. we'll get into the latest episodes of Empire and Scandal on the other side. It's been the Mac and T Show. Thank you for listening.
What time is it? What time? time is it?
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Empire, Season 2, Episode 7, entitled True Love Never. And when I was writing down my notes, I kind of broke it down because true love never would. I guess it was more of a fill in the blank type deal. So I used that in my notes. And let's see. First part of true love never, I said true love never dies. And I put that in with Cookie and Jamal. You know, because they kind of having an off again, on again mother-son relationship since this whole disbandment, and you got the Lion Dynasty against Empire and all that. Well, this episode opens up with Cookie and Laz in bed, you know, because at the end of the last episode, they were getting hot and heavy. Cookie starts getting a lot of texts from Jamal. Back and forth, he needing help with his song and all this stuff. They go back and forth with it. They wind up going to have dinner and drinking a little champagne. Cookie takes the opportunity to convince, and she didn't have to do much convincing, for him to come down and lay a track over at Lion Dynasty, which, I mean, was pretty awesome. If you get a chance to hear it, it's a nice song. Let's see. He performs it at, I called him Quincy Jones Jr. at a living room session for Quincy Jones Jr. I mean, I don't know his actual name. Couldn't remember it from the show, but you know, that's televised live, and you know, he's supposed to be like a music producer who does these little living room sessions with talent. Well, he gets to perform it, and that'll come into play a little later on. But let's see. My next true love never, true love never lived here. And that kind of describes Laz and Cookie's relationship. Laz convinces Cookie to hire the quote-unquote Longhorn crew. That's what I call them. I don't know what they look, but that's what it is. It's a Texas Longhorn tattoo. So he convinces her to hire them as security for what is going to be like a cookout / concert. And, you know, Cookie, and come up with Cookie's Cookout.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So, and in the previews for the next episode, you see Hakeem and this Laz guy get into it. And Cookie slaps Laz and tells him, "Don't you ever put your hands on my son," you know. So that's why I said the true love never lived here. Because, you know, they act like they all about each other, but then she, you know, she steps up for Hakeem in the next episode. True love never lets you down. And I put that for Hakeem and Laura, who is the lead singer of that little Living La Vida Loca group.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't know. Well, you know, the three little Latina singers. Yeah, Lord, I went real racist right there. Forgive me. But anyway, Laura is not a very strong personality, and Cookie keeps trying to get Hakeem to let somebody else be the lead singer for this group instead of her, but Hakeem knows she got it in her, you know, blah, blah, blah. They get to the point, it looks like they're in downtown Chicago or New York in front of some office buildings. And, like, he puts her up on this pedestal and just tells her, you know, sing. Make the people stop and listen to you. Sing. Well, she real shy at first, you know. But all of a sudden, she starts getting into it. And she sings Espanol version of I Will Survive. And the only reason I knew is because I took 7 years of Spanish, and, you know, some of it was making a little bit of sense, and the beat, you know, you know I Will Survive, you know the song, so anyway, she gets done singing the song, and, you know, people are standing around clapping, and she's starting to feel it. Well, she gets down, and her and Hakeem hug, and she kisses him. So, all that playing she was doing where she didn't really want too much to do with him that way, I guess that's fixing to change. And like I said earlier, the whole living room session that Jamal got to play out, it's going to come into my last little section where I say true love should never bring out jealousy. And I say that because that kind of happens between Lucius and Jamal. Jamal don't know it, but Lucius is very jealous of him getting to play at that living room session because Lucius never did. And so that kind of brings him into the studio. He calls out his new son slash daughter, whatever Frida Gatz is. About 4 in the morning, they lay down a sick track with that Bang 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 song that he's been playing for her for the last 2-3 episodes. And they lay down. Lucius comes out of the... He pulls out his Hustle and Flow voice.
Well, as long as he don't sound like these snitches and something, because that was terrible.
Yeah.
The snitches song, I was like, it sound awful. Y'all couldn't... Let him do a spoken word or something.
Nah, he went back to his Hustle and Flow days.
Okay.
and laid it down real nice. So I think that the whole Longhorn, I'm gonna keep calling them a Longhorn crew until I know what the actual names are.
Right.
I think that's gonna come into more of a play next episode, or what they're leading you to believe. Empire still, they got me still watching, they got me still wanting to see things. But the other show that we show, so eloquently review every week, Scandal. Its show opens with, Olivia handcuffed to a table. Fitz walks in. Says, please tell me that you didn't know about this. Please tell me they're wrong, that you didn't know about it, whatever. And, it's led to believe that he's talking about Papa Pope being released. So,
yeah.
I thought that's where it was going to start. No, it starts, apparently, the U.S. is in talks with the nation of Bandar and about kind of calling a truce on some, I guess they've kind of been fighting with each other. And Fitz is real happy about it. They're at a state dinner. The Bandarian translator, Navid, is supposedly translating for the Navari president or prince or whatever he's called, for the Bandari prince. But as he's translating, he also throws in his own version and is telling her that he is seeking asylum, that he has info on a secret facility, and he needs help. Somehow, he ends up in the hospital. Navid, I don't remember exactly how.
I was going to say, Hook got hurt. Go ahead.
But Hook kind of puts a little bit of, I guess you call it, juju on the boy.
Hold
and
on.
Gets him to spill all his guts about this secret facility. So, on the first look of the facility, it appears to just be a simple soda factory. But then the OPA group take a second look and figure out that inside the facility there are cooling agents that could possibly be nuclear. But as they do more investigating, they find out it's a data center used by hackers, as we spoke of earlier, to attack Western nations. So it becomes a big deal. Liv gets the information to Fitz right as Fitz is about to sign the treaty with these people. So he puts his pen down. The treaty don't happen. Yeah, it's yeah. So I don't know if that's going to be a mess later on, or it could just be a one-off thing.
Tell y'all.
Let's see. Papa Pope obviously is out and about. He has Liv escorted to, I guess, we'll call Papa Pope's place. It looks like an abandoned building up the top floor. And it's like the top floor of her little apartment complex, basically. So he has her whisked up there. And he basically tells her that he is fearing for his life. They got people out to get him. He calls them his sons. His sons are out to get him. And, you know, Olivia's kind of like, oh, whatever. But then he tells her that he's proud of her. And, like, I got the hand of God voice that he usually uses. It was a voice that kind of shook her up. So she really thinks that he's in trouble. Oh, and then we flash back to the White House, and Cyrus is going all crazy because, you know, just when he thought he was back in, he's getting pushed out again. And, you know, he's not in the know on things. And but being Cyrus, he's never wanted to play second fiddle to anybody. So he pulls a little Jedi mind trick on Attorney General David Rosen to get him to find out who released Papa Pope. It doesn't take long for Rosen to find out that Olivia was basically the mastermind behind it. So Cyrus informs Fitz about it. That's when what we saw at the beginning of the show where she's handcuffed to the table and Fitz walks in, that's when we get that scene. And they have a whole little moment where they're back and forth in this little cell, in this little interrogation room. And we don't hear anything that they're saying to each other. We got Roberta Flack's "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow" playing, and that's all we hear. And he storms out the room. Back at the hospital, Naveed has done committed suicide because when they thought it was a soda factory, they told him he wasn't getting asylum or whatever. So when they find out for sure that it is some stuff going on at that place, they rush back to the hospital, and Naveed done cut his wrist or slit himself. He bleeding to death. Well, they wind up saving him, of course.
Man down.
So he's going to wind up getting his asylum. Kudos to him. Let's see. Then we go back to the White House. Cyrus and Fitz are talking. Cyrus asks what they should do about Olivia. Fitz said to bring her home to the residence, as in move her completely in, because he wants her to be by him as she's going through all this. And, you know, he believes her, that, you know, he understands that Papa Pope has got some people after him. So he's all about believing Olivia. And Cyrus basically goes to remind him, you know he killed your son, right? So Fitz retort to him was, I forgave you, didn't I?
Oh my.
Mm. Yeah.
Now.
Liv is returned to the residence, and she sees all her clothes and stuff hanging up in a closet, and she gets on the phone. I guess Melly got in touch with her, and Melly threatening to tell Fitz everything, blah blah, and Fitz, Olivia kind of like basically, well, he already knows, so you go ahead. Which, I mean, that's the only time we see Melly in the whole episode. Again, she don't have very much to do here so far in the last couple of episodes. Let's see. Oh, yeah, Fitz also tells Olivia that they're not going after Papa Pope anymore, despite still dispatching Jake again. And his exact words to Jake were, let me know when it's done. So we don't really know what that means. Jake gets to Papa Pope's place and finds Tom, the henchman, unconscious on the floor, and Papa Pope nowhere to be found.
We cut
to another scene where Papa Pope is handcuffed to a chair in an abandoned warehouse. I don't know where they at. Basically, the Pope people, they just get handcuffed this entire episode. And all of a sudden, the camera pans, and it's Huck. And he says, Command, I have some questions for you. And that's how the episode ends.
Huck done kidnapped.
Yeah, he done knocked out Tom and took Papa Pope. And he calls him Command. Huck wild. There's something wrong with
Huck. That's what he called himself, didn't he, for the minute. He was the command.
Yeah.
And Jake took over command. And
now somebody out there done completely took over, according to Papa Pope.
Yeah, it's likely. Well, it's probably Olivia's mom.
Yeah, because we ain't seen Mama Pope none.
I would not be surprised if Mama Pope ain't took over command while y'all playing and forgetting about Mama Pope, how treacherous she is, and how manipulative she is.
But just like Empire, Scandal keeps my interest for another week. I do want to see more of Melly than there have been, just because I think she is a, I think her character could be really, really good now, especially with Olivia and Fitz doing their thing, her on the outside.
You know, the funny thing is, she almost didn't make, she wasn't really supposed to be on but one episode, I think maybe two.
Right.
Then they liked her. And now, you know, look, won't he do it?
Yes, indeed.
Won't he do it?
So. And I'm surprised you didn't play my music when I brought up Free the Gats during Empire.
I can't. It's too early. It's too early in the morning for me to be singing.
Well, I believe that's going to wrap up this episode. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with...
T, it's great to be a Florida Gator. Davis, thank you.
Oh, can we please just get to Atlanta and be done with Atlanta so I can be done with the Gators?
Well, no, and I need you to go on region.com and click Road to Atlanta and win us some tickets. I got to go on that today myself.
And then you just told all these people to go do that, so they're going
to
wind up winning the ticket.
We all need to go. If they win, it's fine.
Equal opportunity for all. But that's going to be our show. This has been the Mac and T Show. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows. Sports and world news. Coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We go on to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.